So we're going to talk about coming to the end of myself. I want a lot of participation today. So how many have ever said, I am at the end of myself? Have you ever said that? Good. Now I want to know what you think you meant when you said it. Exactly what were you thinking when you said, I'm at the end of myself? You know, like, I'm just too tired, or what?
I just couldn't do it.
You said, I just couldn't do it. There's something I just can't do. Anybody else? What do you think when you say, Larry?
Well, when I came to the end of myself as an over-the-road truck driver, there were times I would wake up and say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't get up. I can't move. I can't start this truck. There was tears. I would be on the backside of a rest area thinking that I should call somebody to come get me and just leave the truck there. And, you know, I knew that wasn't right. So that was absolutely at the end of any kind of ability to do anything, the end of myself.
Anyone else want to share what you have felt or what you mean when you say, I'm at the end of myself?
The last few days, I've been home and just not been able to do anything. I just sit there. I've been at the end of myself. I don't know. I don't clean my house. I don't do anything. I don't do my dishes. I'm just at the end of myself, and I need Jesus.
Well, I'm beginning to see why he brought this one today, why he wanted us to talk about it. Anyone else? What does it feel like to be at the end of yourself? Have you been there? Do you want to share being at the end of yourself? Leida?
There's been days when I've been at work and stress has got to me, and I just can't do it on my own. And I stop and say, Lord, I can't do this. You need to help me. I'm at the end of myself.
Amen. Anyone else? Santiago.
I do too much thinking sometimes, and I worry about everything in life that I shouldn't worry about. So I got to the point where I just had anvil? Those heavy metal things, felt like it was on my back. And realizing that I can't deal with it, I can't plan, I can't do anything by myself anymore. And that's where it's at for me, is realizing that I need to let go and let God.
Amen. Anyone else? The thought God gave me this morning was, at the end of myself is where he begins.
Amen.
Mr. Harvey.
For quite a while now, I wake up and my routine is to say, good morning. I can't do it without you. I can't get out of bed without you. I can't think without you. I don't even want to try. I need you. More and more of my life, more and more of my day, I just keep having to say that to him. And then he always, it's not like I have some experience or something, but I find when I look back after a bit, like the pain is gone, there's grace. I'm able to, I have a change of mind or change of focus. It's like he kicks in. He takes over. He, matter of fact, I keep saying,
you weren't supposed to solve the problem right now. you're meddling now and going too far. You're supposed to know how it feels to be at the end of yourself, not what to do about it. That's the lesson coming.
I have been feeling like I'm under the water.
Yeah.
And I can't even get to the surface to get air.
Jesus begins where I end. You had your hand up? I'm sorry.
I come to the end of myself when it seems like I've spent so much time trying to fix relationships, whether in family or friends. And I just feel like I don't know what else to do, Lord. I've apologized over and over for whatever I've done. I've asked Him to show me what I've done to damage these relationships. And then when it comes to looking for a job, I don't know, does He want me to work? Does He not? I'm just at the end of my, at the end of myself, at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do.
Well, now we all know what it feels like to be there, but do we really know that it's where we need to be in order to be at a place where we begin to really depend on Him? Sometimes we're at the end of ourselves on something we can't do because we shouldn't be doing it, so there's just no grace. But sometimes it's what we do need to do, and we just keep trying so hard, and He's wanting us to do it through His strength and His power. I'm going to give you an outline that at first is not going to help you, because it's just going to be my words. But then we're going to go back and find His word about each one of those points. And I'm going to have you help me find His word, because when you own His word on something, it becomes strength and power in your life. It becomes something you grab onto and it works. But when you just get the concept, but you don't own it, it doesn't help you. For instance, I can't, but He can. We say that, but has that changed anything? I can't do it, but He can. Until we actually get in Scripture and have something to stand on and claim and bring it right back to the Lord, that brings it alive. That empowers it to begin happening. I'm weary, but He is my strength. I don't understand. I just have to choose to trust. I'm frustrated, but He says that He's my peace. I don't know what to do, but God will tell me. He is my counselor. He's my wisdom. He's my instruction. I don't have the ability to love, but He will love through me. I'm sinful, but He's merciful. It's too hard for me, but all things are possible to those who believe. I'm wounded. He's my healer. I'm not good enough. But He chooses the weak and the sinful, the base, the rejected. These are some of our complaints when we come to the end of ourselves. And He has answers to all of these. And we're going to go and find them this morning. He begins where I end. There's a part two to this, some things that we can do. We can be willing. We can be available. Just show up. We can be aware. If we're in prayer and in the Word, we can be aware. We can be repentive. We're going to go back through these so you can write them down, because we're going to go back real slow and look up the Scriptures. We can be repentive. We can believe Him, whatever He says. We need to know what He says. We can be obedient. We can be faithful. We can depend on Him. We can be kind to one another. We can be patient. And we can be open. These are things we can do because they're things He's told us to do. So He will give us the ability to do them. And that's what I'm saying. These are truths. But none of you could walk out of here right now and say, I got it. Now I'm fine. No, because you don't have the living Word of God attached to those thoughts. They're all truths. But now you need the Word of God. Notice I'm not wearing glasses today. I did the weirdest thing this morning. I got contacts a long time ago. And they just didn't work for me. That it didn't feel good. I couldn't see good enough. It just wasn't working. And every time I try to put them in, I try about 15 times. And by then, my eye is just red and sore. And it was terrible. I don't know why this morning I thought, I'm going to try to put a contact in. Already had my makeup on. So I'm like, I'm going to give it a quick try. And if it doesn't go, we're done, you know. So I grabbed them out of the drawer. I didn't even know what I was getting. I accidentally got one that belongs in my left eye, which is much, much stronger. And I popped it in my right eye, and it went right in, and it worked great. So they didn't even have the right prescription for me, or they mixed them up. But I put it in, and it worked really good. It doesn't work really good, because I'm still having a hard time seeing these little tiny things. But all I could figure is God wanted me not to see so good this morning, so you have to do the work. So you are going to find scriptures for these points, and we're going to share. And we're going to take it slow, and we might have to take longer than today. But the very first thing that all of you shared was, I can't do it. I'm dysfunctional on something. I just can't do it. So now I want you to open your Bibles, and I want you to find verses that give me God's answer for that. Yeah, I know some of you already know them without looking them up. Some of you need some time to look them up. And I want to hear all of them, so don't just quit because somebody else got one. I want the one that jumps for you. And by the way, it's a very true statement. When we're dysfunctional, we're not imagining it. We really are at the end of ourselves. We have come to a point of something we just cannot do, cannot function any longer in this thing. There's a lot of things we cannot do. So why does God bring us to that breaking point? Anybody have one for me yet? John 15, verse 1 through 8. And Ed is going to read that for us.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Now I want you to tell us how that answers. I can't. I can't do something. How does that verse?
Well, it just says you can't do it by yourself. I mean, it says right there that you can't do nothing without being in the vine. You can't have a relationship with him. And I learned this verse a couple months before I got out of jail. And it made me feel real good that I was just pruned, and now the healing is beginning.
Sometimes the thing we're trying to do and we're not finding grace is because he doesn't want us to do it or not do it the way we're doing it. But when we really come back and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to abide in you. I am bringing this whole issue into you. Tell me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. Because what you want me to do is what you will do through me. That's what you will do through me. You know, again, I remember somebody that was overwhelmed with the house was all falling apart and they were under pressure. They needed to do every part of getting this all put together, and they were afraid to just come to God and say, what should I do? Because it would be too overwhelming. And the first thing he told him to do was sit down, drink a cup of coffee, and turn on worship. Oh, wow, I can do that. Abiding in him, staying in him, doing what he is doing, because then he gives you the power and the strength and the ability, because it's what he's doing. Sometimes we push ourselves hard where he's not pushing. And we just need to stop and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? You got one, Larry? Larry. Glenn? I don't know why I call you Larry.
Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
Apply it. How do you live that?
When
you're weary.
When you're weary, it tells me that you have to wait. You have to wait. You have to be patient. And patience is hard. But God has to put you through that fire so he can build patience in you. And if you just wait upon Him, then all things will be all right.
Amen. He'll give you the grace when it's time. Anyone else have a verse for that? You got one, Glenn?
Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I know when I get so that I can't do it, I come to that verse because I know I can't, but with Him, anything is possible. And that's like coming here some mornings. I don't really want to come during the week, but I know once I get here, God's here, and it's exactly what I need, is I need to open His Word up and read it and share it with others. And that's what keeps me going.
Right. Amen. Anyone else? Either bring the verse that you hear and share it, or if somebody else has shared a verse that's just jumping in you, share that. Share what it's doing for you. Janiyah.
2 Corinthians 12:9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when I'm weak, then He can be strong. And I'm really weak.
Larry. The real Larry.
There was a time when I was a new Christian that being in the Army, I was physically threatened with violence. And this is the verse that sustained me. Hebrews 13, starting in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may be boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me.
We're looking at verses on when we're at the end of ourselves and we can't function or can't do anything. We're looking up a verse from the Bible that helps us in that time, how we get through that. Okay? Is that what you got? Okay. Anita.
For what I've been going through, and when we was told to read the chapter, 6 chapters a day, I only been stuck on the first 6. But there's a reason for that. And at the end of the 6 chapters, I haven't been able to move forward. And it's actually more than one verse. It's probably like 2 or 3.
Go right ahead. Read all you want. Read all 6.
It's Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. I'm going to go to verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall not own. Put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. and ye not much better, are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his story was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And those verses, I've been stuck on those verses because I worry a lot. I've been worrying a lot. I've been doing it a lot of my life. And now, holding on to that, I don't worry as much. And every day I learn to give my worries to God. And the other day, I talked to a lady on the phone, and she told me that I couldn't get the apartment I wanted. And my first response was to be sad and worry about what I'm going to do now. But I had to stop myself and say, you know, I got to give this to the Lord. And I did that, and I get to get that apartment. I didn't have to worry about what was going to happen to me.
It even could have turned out that it was the wrong one, and he wanted you somewhere else, you know. So,
yeah.
He takes good care of us. I know Dudley and Janaya made an offer on a house, and they were sad they didn't get it. But now they made an offer on a better one, better price, better house, you know. It jumped out to me is that the flowers don't toil or spin. We're the ones that toil and spin all the time.
I said, God, all this is happening, and I don't know what to do. And he goes, you can't do it, can you? And I go, no. He said, then you're going to have to walk one step at a time.
Baby steps. I love the baby steps concept. Because we look far ahead and say, it's overwhelming. I cannot do all that. But then God says, one step. There is grace for one step.
Amen.
Take this baby step. This is what you can do. You can get a cup of coffee and listen to worship. Oh, now can you just stand up? Oh, you can do that. One step at a time, we get grace. But when we go, but I see the whole big path and I can't do all that, then it's overwhelming. This young man's had his hand up forever. What do you want to share?
This is the verse from my Bible.
Okay.
It's Hebrews 4:12.
Okay.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing and sorter of soul and spirit, is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen. And that's a perfect time to bring that in, because why we're doing what we're doing is because if you believe these scriptures, you have something to take to God when you're at the end of yourself and say, God, your word says, if I will be patient, if I will dwell in you, if I will stay right here with you, if I will ask you what you want, you'll tell me. And even though I can't do this thing, you will give me either permission not to do it or one step with the power to do that one step. So you need to believe these scriptures. I hope one of these scriptures at least has jumped out to you who are weary. And you can say, this is the one for me. This is the one I'm going to claim. I'm going to say it to God. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to get his instruction, and I'm going to do only what he tells me, because that's where his power is. That's where his grace is. Are you just joining, or you want to say something? Okay, let me give you that shot then. You sparkly shirt. You're so pretty.
Isaiah 41:9-10. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen. You want me to come to you first or Terry first?
Terry.
You've had a few turns, so we'll let Terry have one.
Well, I probably really don't need the mic, but...
It's going on a tape.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well, about three months ago, I went into... I had a big, long drinking career, and I was very good at it. I am a professionalist. But anyway, my best friend, he hung himself in his garage by the rafters. He was drinking half a gallon of rum a day, and he'd only have a couple hours of sleep and do it again. But anyway, I was drinking along with him, and we were going to start a business, but I had it going, but he was procrastinating because he was too busy with his career. And anyway, he hung himself, and then I went down to Mel Trotter's for a little bit, the shelter. And then a friend walked me down to the hospital because I had drank too much. And God had the turning point. It's a recovery home, recovery rehab. So I went there for 3 weeks. No, 2 weeks. And while I was there, I got down on my hands and knees and asked God to have his will and not my will anymore. And after that, I went to a recovery house. And so if you're caught drinking or they think you are, they'll breathalyze you and kick you out. And I was just, my funding, I was funded through, I can't remember the name of them, but... Anyway, my funding ran out, and I had a job, and I was pretty sure that I could catch up with the 2 weeks that I would have been behind if I would have stayed until the 30th of this month. And then I was pretty sure I would have caught up with that the next month, but within 2 weeks, and then paid the next month's rent. But he didn't believe me. The guy head of the house, he didn't believe me that I had a job. And so I didn't know where I was going, so I went down to the Guiding Light. They were going to give me a bed for the night. He told me a day before that I had to go. So I went down to the Guiding Light, said, you know, I'd like to get into your work program. And I had to see the guy in the morning. While I was there, I met a gentleman. He says to me, after I talked to him for a while, he said, well, do you want to rent a room for $100 a month? And I said, let's talk about it. And I had some money on my food card, and I planned on maybe giving him $100 of that because all he wanted was $100 right then and there. But then I checked on I have a credit card deal that my company pays me on, and I checked on that, and I had $176 or something like that. I'm like, wow, all of a sudden, just like that, when I need it. And then, so I gave him his $100, and then we talked for a while. He told me his rent's $450, and he was pretty much just worried about his gas and electric. And I says, well, I'm working, so I'll split the $450 with you, $225. And, so we worked out an arrangement. So I, instead of being down at the homeless shelter or Guiding Light, God blessed me and gave me a place to stay. So I didn't, I went from, and I wasn't worrying, I wasn't worrying at all. And the guy that was kicking me out of the house, I helped him do a bunch of stuff and was just jovial and just happy, just normal, And so I don't know what he thought, because the last guy he kicked out was like, what am I going to go? What am I going to do? But since I gave my will over to God and I, You know, even there's been times where I try to take it back a little bit. I try to stay away from that. But God just, you know, he just does miracles. I've just been blessed so much in the last 3 months. It's scary. I just want to thank God that, you know, I don't have to worry. And, you know, if something does happen, maybe it is for the right reason. And more than likely it is. And that's it.
No one shared Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the first one I thought I would hear today. I can do all things when he strengthens me. So I hope that you have grabbed a verse today that can help you. If you didn't grab one of the others, grab that one. And when you're down and you can't function, say, God, if you want me to do this, strengthen me. If he doesn't strengthen you, you don't have to do it. Philippians 4:13, second. Bernard. Those of you that need to go to pray for worship, you can go.
I've been reading a little bit. I'm trying. But this verse, I read every day. Revelation chapter 10, verse 9. And I went into the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth sweet as honey. So I'm thinking that that's me coming into the Lord, you know, coming. Baby steps, I'm coming, though. I mean, you know, that's what I think it means. I don't know for sure. But,
okay. That's what he's made it mean to you. That's what it means to you. You're up.
I got four verses. I'm going to start with Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. And a salt land and not inhabited. And then he says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And that takes me over to 1 Peter 5:7, to cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And then jumping all the way over to Psalms 55, verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. And then on to Psalms 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that ties back into trusting in the Lord and coming to the end of ourselves.
Amen.
I want to share Ephesians 6:10. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
In the power of his might.
In the power of his might.
That's right.
You want multiple verses? Is that what you want?
I wanted everyone to bring what stands out to them because that's what's coming alive for them to hold on. That's what I want.
I'm just going to throw some verses out in case people want to write them down. Okay. Psalms chapter 1, Psalm chapter 23, Psalms 34, Psalm 37, Psalm 91, 55:22, John 15:5. Without me, ye can do nothing. But this is there's a whole bunch of them I was thinking about, but I just. Anyway, this is the one. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And if you want to write chapter 3, verse 5, and chapter 4, verse 7, and chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But chapter 1, verses 8 through 10.
You're too fast for him to even write it down.
I'm sorry.
You know that.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Pause. Chapter 3, verse 5, pause. Chapter 4, verse 7, pause. Chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Anyway, they're ones that he took me to and had me memorize and had me meditate on, where I couldn't even live without them, like every day. Like Bernard was saying, every day I had to like read and meditate and think. And then he would have me do each little phrase. But it goes like this. 2 Corinthians 1:8-10. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. It's talking about coming to the end of ourselves. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Grand Rapids. I'm sorry, it says Asia. But in Grand Rapids, that we were, three things, pressed out of measure. We didn't even have anything to compare it to. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, beyond our ability, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We wanted to die. Chapter, verse 9. But we had something? Yes. The sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Verse 10. Who delivered us, past, who delivered us from so great a death, eternal death, and presently, and doth deliver, and future, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Hope.
These three verses, I'm telling you, I had to, like, I don't know, it might have been a year or whatever. I just had to live on these three verses. And chapter 3, verse 5 says about his strength. Not that we are sufficient or able of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency, our ability is of God. In chapter 4, verse 7, but we had this treasure. What is the treasure? Jesus Christ. But we had this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. In Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that there is so much scripture to help us when we do come to the end of ourselves. And help us to realize coming to the end of ourselves is not a bad thing, but in fact, it's a good thing, because exactly. At the end of me is where I find you.
Yes.
Help us to just find you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.